podcasting at backgroundbriefing.org, where you can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing.
We're 1,000 miles from comfort. We can travel land and sea. But as long as you are with me, there's no place I'd rather be.
Hey, it's Gracie,
Sarah, and Josie
from the Girl Scout Troop 1819, Coxsackie, Athens.
And you're listening to
WGXC
ACRA
at 90.7 FM.
Keep on being you.
All together now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties is looking for contributors. If you have an idea for a regular or irregular segment, or if you want to interview the public at a local event or write stories for the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org, send an email to info@WGXC.org. All together now.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
All Together Now airs Monday through Saturday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties and WOOC LP 105.3 FM in Troy.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Acre, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, October 9, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Evacuations ordered as Hurricane Michael gains strength and heads for the Florida Panhandle. Also on the Monday rundown, part two in our series on addiction and crime, the opioid epidemic, and doctors offer advice for prevention during another bad flu season. First, here's our top story. With Hurricane Michael rapidly intensifying and threatening to smash Florida's panhandle with dangerous storm surge, flooding, and winds, USA Today reports Governor Rick Scott did not mince words on Monday night. Making decisions tomorrow might be too late, he said. Described by Scott as both
monstrous, and massive, Michael could make landfall as a Category 3 hurricane with sustained winds of at least 111 miles per hour, according to current projections. USA Today adds it's forecast to become a major hurricane sometime today and could make landfall Wednesday afternoon or evening, likely between Pensacola in the far western panhandle and Apalachicola directly south of Tallahassee on the coast. The Federal Food and Drug Administration is so concerned about the increased use of e-cigarettes among the nation's youth, Ross Brown reports it's launched a campaign to educate school-aged children about their dangers.
According to Mitch Zeller, director of the FDA's Center for Tobacco Products, the most recent data show that 3 million school-aged children, including more than 600,000 middle school students, have tried vaping. The number of adults who smoke cigarettes has been on the decline for decades, but Zeller says youths may not realize the use of e-cigarettes can be a gateway to harder drugs.
Unlike cigarettes, where kids are way more aware of the risks, a whole bunch of teenagers are walking around thinking, I'm not lighting up tobacco leaves, I'm not inhaling that smoke into my lungs. It's better for me, it's safer for me, it's less risky. We have got to curb this growing epidemic.
The FDA recently issued more than 1,300 warning letters and fines to retailers nationwide who illegally sold Juul and other e-cigarette products to minors, including 21 stores in Albuquerque and 23 in New Mexico overall.
The FDA told five major e-cigarette manufacturers whose products were sold to kids they have 60 days to develop plans that describe how they will address the widespread youth access and use of their products. And today we have part two in Mary Sherman's series of reports on addiction and crime in Ohio. She reports, despite the public awareness of the opioid epidemic, record numbers of Ohioans are dying from drug overdoses.
State data shows unintentional drug overdoses rose nearly 33%. From 2016 to 2017, claiming the lives of more than 4,000 people. As assistant professor of health policy at Ohio University, Dan Skinner explains that like any complex social phenomenon, understanding the opioid crisis is multifaceted.
So there's the role of stigma and thinking that addiction is about other people. And, you have the role of pharmaceutical companies and the profit motive and the whole story about the misrepresentation of risk factors around OxyContin in particular.
Nationally, opioid overdose deaths began their gradual rise before the turn of the century, and in 2010, heroin overdoses started to spike. After 2014, synthetic drug overdoses skyrocketed and now are attributed to twice as many overdose deaths as opioids. The story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
Open government groups say the public should be outraged over a Racine County judge's decision to hold a county alderwoman in contempt of court. Bill Leaders with the Wisconsin Freedom Information Council says the judge's decision to seal the open records case is wrong, and his suggestion of a $1,000 fine each day Widener spoke to the public about the case is outrageous.
This isn't the Pentagon Papers here. This is communications between citizens of Racine and their other people. That's what it's about. And this judge has gone full secret in terms of trying to clamp a lid on the public's ability to know what's happening.
Alderman Widener did admit it was serious to defy a judge's order, and she thought the sanctions were fair. The judge is requesting she pay the city's attorney's fee instead of the $15,000 fine. And earlier this year, Iowa beefed up its nutrient reduction strategy. That's a program to improve water quality, and farmers are weighing the costs and social risks of compliance. Katie Rock with the Center for Rural Affairs says water quality remains a contentious issue in Iowa, and a more comprehensive approach that includes conservation practices is needed.
We found that a majority of farmers reported that they didn't feel social pressures to install new conservation practices, but they did say that weather and shifting climate patterns are a big perceived threat to farmers' operations.
Rock says the study polled 52 farmers representing 41 of the state's 90 counties. She notes that respondents identified agricultural consolidation, fluctuating commodity prices, and nutrient and soil loss as other top concerns. And finally, Eric Tegenhoff reports after last year's extremely deadly and severe flu season, health professionals want people to be prepared this year.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 80,000 people died from the flu and 900,000 were hospitalized with symptoms last season in the United States. Medical Director for Preventative Care at Kaiser Permanente, Dr. John Dunn, says people should consider getting a flu shot before cases spike this year.
What I always want to remind people about is the fact that once you get a flu shot, it takes several weeks before your body responds to it in a way that will make you able to fight off the flu.
Experts say people who do get sick after a flu shot likely contracted a cold somewhere else. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts partly sunny Tuesday with a high near 77 and a low around 63. Wednesday should be mostly sunny with a high near 76 and a low around 62. Thursday, there's a 90% chance of showers, possibly thunderstorms, after 2 p.m. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain with a high near 71, a low around 49. Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, creative community radio.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Oh, honey, I just heard some terrible news.
What's that, honey?
The radio station WGXC is going off the air.
Oh, my goodness. Did you know you could donate by check? Give them a check to WGXC 5662 Route 23, Accra, New York, 12405.
And you can also go to their website, wavefarm.org or wgxc.org, and donate monthly, a sustaining supporter.
Oh, I'll be a sustaining supporter, honey, once we get up to that St. Charles Hotel.
Oh, yes, I love the bar there.
There's no bar there.
That's what I meant.
Next, we have these reports.
I'm Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org. Click on Newsroom for more information about anything you hear here. The last of undecided U.S. senators announced October 5th how they were voting, making Brett Kavanaugh the newest Supreme Court justice. Local politicians were quick to respond, quote, with the completion of the additional FBI investigation and no proof to corroborate any of the allegations against Judge Kavanaugh, I continue to support his confirmation based upon his qualifications, record, and writings from the bench. I am happy that the Senate has agreed to move forward with his nomination, unquote, said a statement from Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook. When asked, after speaking to the NAACP in Albany October 5th, whether Congress could impeach Kavanaugh after November elections, New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand said, quote, if we do have the opportunity to have a different House leadership or a different Senate leadership, I wouldn't be surprised if there were at least some investigations, unquote. New York's other senator, Chuck Schumer, on the Senate floor October 5th, did not directly criticize Republicans, quote, I don't blame them. They have a flawed nominee, unquote, Schumer said. Quote, the well was poisoned from the outset, unquote. Gloria Pazmino reports at Politico New York that Governor Andrew Cuomo's campaign said October 5th he will accept the Working Families Party ballot line on the November 6th ballot. During the primary election campaign this summer, Working Families Party head Bill Lipton said, quote, Andrew Cuomo can talk like he's a progressive, but the truth is he relies on Wall Street billionaires and Republican megadonors like Trump and the Koch brothers to fill his campaign coffers, unquote. Lipton said in a fundraising email, quote, for 8 years, Andrew Cuomo's vision of politics has put people like Trump and the 1% first, unquote. Now, though, to retain their place on the ballot, the party is backing Cuomo. Political parties in New York need 50,000 votes in the governor's election to stay on the ballot. The Working Families Party had backed Cynthia Nixon, but now swaps her out for Cuomo on the ballot, with Nixon now technically running against Democrat Assemblymember Deborah Glick in New York City. Nixon says she won't actually campaign against Glick. Read the full story at Politico New York. Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that a Round Top woman driving a car on State Route 32 in Catskill ran into a 400-pound pig. The driver and four children in the vehicle suffered only minor injuries, but the pig did not survive. Dan Ellett of Catskill said the animal had given birth to 16 piglets earlier this year. Quote, I have double-strand electric fence and barbed wire, unquote, Ellett said. Quote, I've never seen them undo the fence, but I've had issues with bears getting in and chasing them out, unquote. State police said the encounter was unusual. Quote, this is not a normal occurrence, unquote, said state police investigator Pete Kuzminski. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. This has been the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you heard here. The registration deadline for voting in the general election is October 12th. Mail registration must be postmarked no later than October 12th and received by election officials no later than October 17th. Anyone honorably discharged from the U.S. military or who became a naturalized U.S. citizen after October 13th may register in person at the Board of Elections up until October 27th. This year's election is November 6th and includes congressional elections throughout the country, statewide races for governor, state senate, and assembly, and local contests.
Well, I promised you that we would have a guest here, and we always try and have people here when there's big weekends in East Durham. And Neil O'Hagan from County Tyrone is playing at McGrath's, and he did last night and the night before as well. So he's here with us, and in 1 second, when I get my things straightened out here, we're going to put him on the air. How are you, Neil?
I'm very good. Thank you.
Okay, you can move in a little bit closer to the mic, and we'll hear you better. Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and so on. I gave them a hint that you're from Tyrone, so they already got that.
Yeah, so I'm born and raised in Tyrone. I've been living in America now 3 years. I'm living down in Queens, in New York City, and playing the circuit around there, around Manhattan, Queens, Bronx. And every once in a while I come up to the Catskills here, to McGrath's Bar, where it's a lot of fun, so it is. So my voice is a little bit hoarse today after a great session last night. So
where do you perform in Queens? And is this life is still on down there in Queens?
Oh yeah, Queens is still there. So it is. I play around in certain bars. There's the Wolfhound in Astoria. It's my Thursday night residency. And then there's other bars like Keane's Bar and the Woodlawn and the Live Oak in Maspeth, just beside my house. It's really good. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I've been out of the circuit. I was a DJ, and I would go to some of the bars for some of the holidays, like Halloween and things like that. But I've been out of that scene now for a few years, so I'm up here. But so there's still opportunities for music down there, right?
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. So it is. There's a lot of Irish musicians. We sort of take care of each other, and I was very fortunate. I fell in with a lot of musicians that helped me out when I moved to the city. Because I had a few friends, but I didn't really know exactly how to get in. So guys like Donny Ryan, he plays banjo. He sort of introduced me to the circuit. You know, give me a chance on the stage and. Then it just started taking off from there. I've been doing gigs before in other places, but I had no really in the city. So I was very fortunate that I had good friends and I got the right people around me at the right time. So it's very good. So it is. There's New York is definitely my favorite place for opportunities. And if you work hard enough, you can make it.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing when you come over here. We're all from our own little parish or wherever we came from, and you find other people from your county, and they're really great. They help each other out, and many of them are not from your own county at all. They're from other counties.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a great place to be. Okay, so what'll you do for us?
I think I'll do a song by Christy Moore, The Voyage.
Okay, well off you go.
Here we go.
I am a sailor, and you're my first mate. We signed on together, we coupled our fates. Hauled up the anchors, determined not to fail. For the heart's treasures, together we set sail. With no maps to guide us, we steered our own course. He rode on the storms when the winds were gale force. Sat on the doldrums in patience and hope. Working together, we learned how to cope. Life is an ocean, love is a boat. In troubled waters, it keeps us afloat. When we started the voyage, it was just me and you. Now gathered round us, we have our own crew. Together we're in this relationship. We built it a care, so last the whole trip. Our true destination's not marked on any charts. We're navigating for the shores of the hearts. Life is an ocean, love is a boat. In troubled waters, it keeps us afloat. When we started the voyage, it was just me and you. Now gathered round us, we have our own crew. Life is an ocean, love is a boat. In troubled waters, it keeps us afloat. When we started the voyage, it was just me and you. Now gathered round us, we have our own crew.
Very good. We don't have an audience here, but if we did, I think we'd have some clapping. you do sound like you're a little hoarse, all right.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of fun last night. We had a lot of musicians coming in. We had Mickey Coleman. We had Gary, who one shot Paddy and Cormac from the Young Wolf Tones. We had a lot of great musicians in last night. It was a lot of fun. So it was.
Yeah, I was over. I met the guy. What's his name again? From the Wolf Tones. Derek Warfield.
Oh, Derek Warfield. He popped his head in last night as well.
Yeah. Oh, did he come in? Yeah.
I think
yeah.
He popped his head. Someone said.
Well, I used to work in a place in New York called the Old Sheeling.
Yes.
Back in the 60s. And that's when the Wolf Tones were just getting popular. And I remember one night we had them in the Old Sheeling. I don't remember how many people could fit in it. But they charged, in 1969, they charged $10 at the door. And at 10 o'clock at night, there was 350 people still outside with the place packed.
Goodness.
And there was no restrictions on, they put on two shows. You could stay for the two shows if you wanted. You didn't get thrown out. At 1 o'clock, one person walked out and one person got in and the other 349 had to go home.
Oh my
and
goodness.
The same thing for a whole week. It was unbelievable. Like the people had heard about them and they came here and they had them out in Queens for an early show and in the evening, late at night, then they would have them in the Old Sheeting in New York. And I'll never forget that. We met them that time and I've stayed in touch with them since. Every time I see him, he comes up with a whole load of CDs. He's absolutely great for helping promote the radio programs and promote his own stuff on it. And like he had already given me, he was giving me four last night. He had already given me three of them. So I have one that I will be playing later, the one about Australia. But they're a great group. And I don't know what has happened with the other three of them, but I don't think they're as active as he is. But the group is still good.
Yeah, they're fantastic. A few months ago, I was it was my first weekend I ever came up to the Catskills and I was playing in McGrath and I was walking around checking the other bars out and I was talking to I think it was Damaris or one of the guys anyway. And I got to meet Derek for the first time, and it was fantastic. It was kind of crazy for me, because, you know, to finally meet one of the Wolftones.
Yeah, to finally meet him, yeah.
And then they said, you know, we're talking music and stuff, and next thing they actually offered it, and they says, if you want, you can come and do a few shows with us. So that was pretty crazy for me.
Wow.
So ever since then, I've been in touch with them. I was chatting to them last night. It's great. They're a great bunch of people. So they are absolutely fantastic musicians. I mean, I would recommend anybody to go see them. But they're a great bunch of guys. I like staying in touch with them.
Yeah. Well, I think that I asked him if he could come in tonight, and he said, if you have a recorder, I'll do an interview with you. But I think they're in Boston tonight.
That's right.
Hi, this is Michael Cole, the Columbia County Director of Community Services. The abuse of opiates has reached epidemic proportions in our country, our states, and in our county. Our local youth and their families have been impacted by the current opiate epidemic. Opiate abuse does not discriminate. However, there is hope. Treatment works and recovery is possible. Education is the key to dispelling myths that perpetuate the stigma associated with addiction. Information on how to get involved in the solution is available at 518-828-9446 or ColumbiaCountyMHC.com. Thank you.
Here's 2018 local music from Hudson-based singer-songwriter Emily Ritz, the title song Pattern Recess from her 2018 local release.
do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
GXC 90.7 servicing Accra, Catskill, and Hudson, Columbia, and Greene County. Woo!
Fridays on WGXC are made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jim McCabe of Clavrock, New York. Sustaining supporters like Jim are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to health care and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
Next, we have these reports.
Radio Kingston, we're coming up on our one-year anniversary. November 1st will be the a year since we became Radio Kingston. We bought WKNY, a 1,000-watt AM radio station in Kingston from Town Square Media. WKNY went on the air in 1939. I think it was the only important thing to happen in 1939. It's been at, you know, it has ebbed and flowed with the fortunes of AM radio. At one point, it was the thing in Kingston. There were three full-time radio stations, 24/7, full news staff, full salespeople. It has not been that in a long time. And when we came in November, we changed the format. By January, we were a non-commercial radio station. We stopped running all the syndicated programming, which was about two-thirds of the programming here, and we started adding shows hosted by members of the community. And by May, we had added 30 shows covering a wide variety of topics, music, talk, and the programming grid now looks more like the city looks.
And how did it come to pass that you started a radio station? It wasn't an organization that was pre-existing that decided to get into radio. This is a new startup operation. How did that happen?
So I had been doing radio at WDST in Woodstock for a long time, and 4 or 5 years ago, I was introduced to Peter Buffett, who has something called the Novo Foundation. He's the co-president with his wife. But I knew Peter as a musician going back to the late 1980s. He was kind of a new age music musician, and I had seen his records at various radio stations over the years. And a mutual friend of ours had helped him re-record the Tears for Fears song, Everybody Wants... Oh, no, I'm sorry, Shout. Re-record the Tears for Fears song, Shout. And they sent it to me, and I liked it. So I invited him in for a conversation. And it turns out that he had done it as sort of a protest song. And so we spent an hour or two one morning just trading protest songs on the air. And he would come in with me on Wednesdays for a couple hours, and we would talk about a wide variety of things and play music. And he's got an extraordinary outlook on life. He had written a pretty influential New York Times op-ed a few years ago about the philanthropical industrial complex. And when you call for the death of capitalism and Warren Buffett is your father, gets people's attention. So the powers that be at WDST didn't like how much talk was happening in Morning Drive. So Peter and I would do an hour show that we would record during the week and we'd play on Sunday mornings. And that show is called What's Next? Because the theory is that, you know, the center can't hold and we're moving towards whatever is after this post-capitalist world. And so what's next? And each week, Peter and I would interview some amazing thinkers and visionary people. And at some point, the idea to maybe do this at a, you know, form a radio station that espoused a lot of these ideas came up. He had helped start – he'd lived in Milwaukee for a time and helped start Radio Milwaukee while he was there. And one thing led to another, and we just started to look around for radio properties in Kingston because the local economies project, which he was involved with, had a deep focus in Kingston. And we started to think about scale and how a media or a radio station could help foster a community's conversation about itself and maybe influence some of the things that were going on there, positive and negative. And we poked around for a little while and remarkably Town Square bit and said, yeah, we'll sell you WKNY. And so they did. And I left WDST and came over here to start this.
How much does it cost to buy a failing AM station in Kingston?
Depends on who you ask. The purchase price was $500,000. It's probably higher than if we... if we were in it to haggle, we might have paid less. But we knew that, one, we wanted the radio station. It was the reach of the radio station was perfect. It covered the entire Kingston area and not much beyond. And the call letters were perfect, WKNY.
Did you get the real estate with it, too?
There's 4 acres that surround the tower and transmitter that we own. The studios are in a lease. We lease the studios. I think they're... For the radio station has been here for 30 years and they've never owned the property here.
Those kind of rude questions, but it's such an interesting time in broadcasting that they come up. So conventional wisdom is that radio is over, I think, that it's we're in a digital world and there's no room for analog. What inspires you to head down a path that others think is a dead end?
I think, again, it comes to the idea of scale. There are people who listen to radio. We know that. In this city, when you start focusing on issues that pertain specifically to this city, we find that people are paying attention. The hosts, the 30-plus radio hosts who do shows here, go back out into the community after doing their show. And, if we were in this for a commercial endeavor, maybe that would be true, that it wouldn't make sense to do what we're doing. But we're in it with the aspect, with the intent in mind to foster community conversations. And we're counting on, I think, the city, the people who live in the city, to participate and listen.
And what sort of programming do you have on the air?
Can I reference the schedule guide here? So Warren Lawrence has been on the air for 45 years at WKNY, and he does the morning show. And it's a pretty standard AM music-based morning show with news and trivia and sports. Then at 10 to noon Monday through Friday, we go to La Voz, which is the city's first ever Spanish-only radio show, Spanish-language radio show. Then at noon, Warren comes back and does his lunchtime oldies show. And Monday through Friday from 1 to 3, we have a variety of female-hosted shows that cover a bunch of different topics. On Monday afternoons, it's Julie Novak, who is co-founder of the TMI Project, and she has a very queer-focused programming. She's also a stand-up comedian, so there's a lot of laughter. On Tuesdays, it's a show called The Black Meta. Beatle and Freedom Walker host that. How do I describe that? It is a metaphysical look at the Black American experience. When Beatle walked in one afternoon with a copy of Camus' The Stranger under her arm, I thought, this is interesting. And then she went on a 10-minute riff at the end of that on, Black American experience. Was pretty remarkable. Wednesdays from 1 to 3, it's a woman-centered show called I Want What She Has. And not in a jealous sense is that title, but more as I'm inspired by women. We have Rise Up Radio on Thursdays from 1 to 3, and that's hosted by Callie Jane, who is executive director of Rise Up Kingston. And that focuses very much on the oppression of Black Americans and Black people in Kingston, particularly issues with the police. And then on Fridays from 1 to 3, we have The Source with Hillary Harvey. And Hillary covers all the civic events in the city. She goes to all the city council meetings and the school board meetings and gathers audio and does interviews. And then I'm on for 2 hours, Monday through Friday. Then we have an evening program and from 5 to 7. That's pretty much music-oriented and sports and sort of traditional AM radio. And then in the evening, we have another wide variety of shows that cover everything from hip-hop to LGBTQ rights to a show for the seniors in the area called Planet Seniors for the over 65 population. So there's a lot. And then there's kids programming on the weekends, and we carry high school football. So it's a little bit of everything.
Cool. And now you've had a long career in commercial radio. Do you find that that's helpful, or that you have to unlearn what you learned on the commercial side?
Oh, no. It was very helpful because now I know what not to do. Really, honestly, I was in the commercial world for a long time, and that has informed my opinion about commercial radio. And when we're doing stuff at Radio Kingston, I try very hard not to replicate things for the sake of trying to get to the most listeners or do something that will get us in the newspaper or, all those things that commercial radio does.
And when it all comes down to it, you're really talking about helping out Kingston. What are the problems in Kingston that you're trying to address?
The biggest issue right now is that Kingston is sort of running on this idea of enthusiasm. When IBM left 25 years ago, the city really went into a funk. 7,000 jobs left the area, and the economy here was really affected by that. And then the O Positive Festival, which started 9 years ago, brought art and wellness and music together over a weekend in October, and people started to notice. And it started to get an influx of people from downstate, from Brooklyn, the so-called hipsters, and some cool restaurants started to open up, and it started to become one of those Hudson River towns that was going to, turn into, Hudson or Beacon or something like that. And with that came real estate speculation and gentrification. And so probably gentrification and generational poverty are the big issues in Kingston. Midtown, where we are, is a food desert. There's no supermarket nearby. An issue with failing infrastructure in the city. It's an old city here. In the mid-1600s, it was New Amsterdam, Wiltwyck, and New Orange, which was New York City, Kingston, and Albany. And what we become out of this, how much we can, redo that infrastructure while looking to the future about, getting off fossil fuels. We have a pretty green-minded mayor. All those things are probably the top issues. It's been the best thing I've ever done in radio. I didn't know that you could the intersection of personal social beliefs with 30 plus years in radio has just been amazing. I didn't think it would happen, in my mid-50s. So I guess the message is hang in.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Here's 2018 music from Catskill-based singer-songrighter Amy Rigby. Her 2018 release, The Old Guys. This song is called From Philip Roth at Gmail to rzimmerman@aol.com. Rigby's setting up here in the studio, getting a guitar tuned and ready to go. All right, well, you've got a guitar. You want to play one of the songs off the new record?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Which one are you going to play?
I was going to play something mellow. But maybe I should play something more, you know, to kind of like get moving a little. I think I will. I was talking about like people that have helped and inspired me. And, so I wrote this song, for one of the producers that I got to work with and who just, you know, just like it's, I don't know if anyone, like, if you'll keep going, if there isn't a person who tells you, like, you know, like, you're good, you know, just like you're doing something that's good, and someone who you look up to, who you feel like has done something themselves. People, young people need that, you know, like encouragement. You can't just get it all from inside, or if you are, you're just like a much more incredible person than I am. So anyway.
There'll never be another you. There'll never be another you. One off. There'll never be another you. There'll never be another you. One off. And when we all get together, we can laugh about the things you said. You made this cruel world better, made me wish that you could be my dad. The way you talked, how it sounded, it was deep, it was nothing at all. When you called, you called, you called, you called, you called, you called. There'll never be another you. There'll never be another you. One off. There'll never be another you. There'll never be another you. One off. And when I look at your picture, I can feel it like I felt back then. If you said that it mattered, well, it did, yeah, I remember when. The day we met, you were older, you had lived, you were halfway through. And you knew, you knew, you knew, you knew, you knew, you knew. Don't have to go to the mountain like the mountain, you were already there. And you cared, you cared, you cared, you cared, you cared, you cared. There'll never be another you. There'll never be another you. There'll never be another you.
All right, the crowd went wild.
Can I rent one of those from you? Yes, we'll put a mic on it.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Logan Weiss is reporting for Columbia Green Media. COPEC residents packed a public hearing last week about the proposed 12-pump gas station at the intersection of Routes 7 and 23. The station would be operated by the wholesale gasoline and oil company Millerton and is slated to be constructed on the 1.7-acre parcel once the site of a supermarket. Resident Mark Rogers said, and I quote, "It's going to be deadly. I nearly died at that intersection. Mark my words, I'll go before the court and say this. It will be deadly," end quote. Caryville resident Paul Pozakowski said, and I quote, "What the proposal is, it's toxic and hazardous. We could use something there, but not a 12-pump gas station. It's an environmental hazard," end quote. Pozakowski is a member of Save Caryville, a group of residents who have organized in opposition to the project. Former planning board member Hillary Thomas said the state approved the environmental review of the project. She said the property at the corner of Route 7 and 23 has been vacant for 25 years and on the market for a decade. Save Caryville's attorney, David K. Gordon, spoke to the planning board at length.
citing issues with the gas station's distance from the road, the number of parking spaces, a lack of planned sidewalks, stormwater treatment, the distance to a protected wetland area, runoff, and the hamlet zoning code. He said, and I quote, "There are several violations with the current plan here," end quote. The meeting turned contentious at times, with some audience members shouting down planning board members when they attempted to limit Gordon's comments. COPEC Planning Board Chairman Bob Haight declined to comment after the meeting. You can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. David Lombardo reports in the Albany Times Union that Democrats say they only need to flip one Republican-held state Senate seat in the November 6 election to take control of the chamber. Democratic Senate Campaign Committee Chairman Mike Gianaris said, and I quote, "We have one seat to defend and about a dozen that we can flip, and we only need to flip one. We're feeling pretty good," end quote. Locally, there are two state Senate elections of note. Republican Kathy Marchione unexpectedly announced her retirement from the 43rd Senate District seat this spring. Her aide, Republican Daphne Jordan, is trying to hold the seat. The Democrat, Aaron Glad, has raised more money in his campaign so far. July filings show Glad has received more than $132,000 in donations, more than twice the $48,000 collected by Jordan. In the 46th state Senate district, Democrat candidate Pat Strong's challenging Republican incumbent George Amador. Democrat Cecilia Katzik won that seat in 2012 when Obama was elected, then lost to Amador in 2014 during a Republican wave election. This year is expected to be a Democratic wave election, so Strong may have a chance to win the district. Read the full story in the Albany Times Union. Beth McGriffith is reporting at the Greenport Online Town Hub, acknowledging numerous reports of very dirty water from the town residents. As of October 5th, crews were out looking for a water break, she said, and because the town was aware of the problem, there was no need for residents to call. The office is closed October 8th due to Columbus Day holiday. She wrote, and I quote, "Crews will be working diligently to find and correct the issue over the weekend," end quote. According to one post on the town's Facebook page, there have been no signs of crews working on the problem on Beecroft Avenue and surrounding area. She wrote, and I quote, "We still have brown water," end quote. Brendan J. Lyons reporting for the Times Union. New Jersey-based developer UMH Properties Incorporated filed a lawsuit in federal court last week accusing Coxsackie Village officials of racial bias as a result of their continued effort to thwart its efforts to build more than 200 manufactured homes on the northern side of the village. The lawsuit follows a more than 13-year battle between UMH and the village. Residents have long opposed the project as well, in some cases citing concerns that the development would destroy the character of the village and overrun the school district with new students. The project was first proposed in 2005, then followed by multi-year development moratoria and zoning changes enacted by the village. According to the complaint filed in the U.S. District Court in Albany, the company alleges that racial bias has also been a component of the opposition to the Mountain View Estates project. According to the complaint, and I quote, "Many community members expressing opposition employed stereotypes and language intended to invoke images of African Americans and Latinos and what they perceived to be low-income families with children who would be the residents of the UMH development," end quote. The developer said the statements include references to...
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to The Outer Limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, creative, community, magical radio.
I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Thank you.